Thank you for coming back to manxradio.com for another MyTunes podcast.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Another week of MyTunes on Mark Tiley in the morning. And my guest this week, well, talk about exciting times, because Emma Callan has just recently been promoted to, and I've got the title here, Emma, Head of Culture and Arts for the Isle of Man.
That makes it sound tremendously worrying.
No, it's very exciting.
It is very exciting, and I feel very fortunate. It's part of the restructure within our Department of Education, Sport and Culture. So I'm doing broadly what I did. It's just that I've been termed differently.
Well, let us go back just a couple of pages to the Villa Gaiety job, which was when we first started talking about doing this. That's what you were.
Yes.
Which was?
Head of Villa Marina Gaiety Theatre and the Arts.
I tell you.
It's a long one, that.
It's long, isn't it? It's long. But I want to go back much further. We'll come back, because the reason we're doing this right now is that it's so exciting, because we've got the doors opening. We've had Shrek, which has been amazing.
Yeah.
I think that was the only musical in Europe with a proper audience.
Quite possibly. And I was part of the audience on Sunday afternoon. And much as we found after the previous lockdowns, everyone's just glad to be back through our doors, and we're making it as safe as possible for everyone. But honestly, it didn't seem to be of huge concern. Everyone was enjoying themselves. It's very difficult not to enjoy yourselves in such... The show was just so funny, and it was so well done by the Douglas Choral Union. But it just felt like being back old times, part of an audience. The cast were obviously having a great time. We were having a great time. It's been lovely.
Yeah, it's so special, special. Isle of Man. Now, you were born in Leeds, but you came over as a little tiny person.
Yes.
And grew up here and was educated here. Where did you go to school?
So I was Oncombe Primary School, and then I actually went through all three Douglas High Schools, so Park Road, St Ninian's, and then I switched over to Ballycommine for my A-levels, because they did A-level theatre studies, and that's what I wanted to do.
I was going to say it wasn't because you were terribly naughty.
Absolutely not.
Well, that takes us nicely into your degree, which was?
Performing arts.
Yeah, because if you haven't seen Emma sort of doing posh work and being head of culture and arts, you may have seen her on the stage doing all sorts of things, including the Vicar of Dibley.
Yes, that was terrifying.
But what, I mean... I remember it so well. I was supposed to be with you. Sadly, I was off island. Things happened. I couldn't do it in the end. But I came to see you because I got back in time for the performance run. Wow. Tour de force, Emma. It was stunning.
That was it was terrifying for two reasons. It was the first time that I'd done in a long time. I come from a background of plays and drama, not musicals, but my life has taken a musicals turn for such a long time that I hadn't had to learn that much dialogue without it being broken up by a song for such a long time. And I realised that actually it's much easier to learn words when they're set to music than it is just a whole speech. And the other terrifying thing was, it's Dawn French. The Vicar of Dibley is Dawn French. We all know and love Dawn French, and she's just got funny bones, hasn't she? So not that I ever tried to emulate her or thought I would reach her dizzying heights, but that's some big shoes to fill, isn't it?
Well, you did it absolutely brilliantly, and there's so many other things we could talk about. You on the stage at the place where you're now looking after the whole fabric of the place. Music as a growing up person, was it all sorts of music? I mean, your mum's very theatrical, showbiz royalty.
Yes, showbiz absolutely. Royalty.
So what sort of music were you exposed to growing up?
Do you know what? Mum instilled in me a love of old Hollywood musicals, and which I still, my favourite, if my children let me, is a rainy Saturday afternoon watching a Fred and Ginger film or Singing in the Rain or something like that. My dad used to, so my dad lives in England, and my mum brought me back to the Isle of Man when they split up, and my dad used to send me compilation tapes, but they would usually be the pop records of the day. He taught in a girls' school, so he would borrow all the girls' records and he would tape them for me. And then he started to send me Beatles music as well. I am an enormous fan. It was strange how they came into my life, in that It was when I was about 14, and me and my best friend, Jane, loved the Beatles. And we loved the Beatles when nobody else, you know, 14-year-olds in 1990 weren't listening to the Beatles. But we were obsessed, absolutely obsessed. I'd say for a good couple of years, we learned all of the lyrics. And when I'd learned all of the lyrics, I went back and learned all of the harmonies because I was a proper geek about it. We watched the films. I remember one summer holiday, we literally every day we were watching Help or A Hard Day's Night. And this is the days before the internet. So we lapped up as much information as we could. And we are still huge Beatles fans. We went to see the bootleg Beatles up at the Grandstand a couple of years ago. We've got tickets for them when they come to the Villa. And I have to say, as a person who wasn't there the first time, I'm never going to get to see the Beatles. I've seen Paul McCartney, but I will never get to see the Beatles. The bootleg Beatles are as close as it gets. They are amazing. They are really, really good. Choosing one Beatles song is almost an impossible task. Jane and I both chose Beatles songs at our respective weddings for our first dances, but I've stayed away from that one. I've chosen Help because you can hear all three voices. You can hear Ringo on the drums. I love the rawness in John's voice. And if I have to pick a favourite, John is my favourite. And the curious thing about this song is we now all know in hindsight that this was a real cry for help. He was really struggling. Yet they've set it to a jaunty rock and roll song, made it sound quite happy. And I often wonder, you know, on the day that John brought the lyrics in, did Paul not go, "Ooh, are you all right, mate?" Or did he just go, "I've got a tune for that"? You know, did they discuss how they were feeling? Or did it just get put out there because they needed a hit record? But I think this is just one of those. I would say they're all perfect, but hopefully everyone will know Help.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Yesterday on My Tunes, my guest, Emma Callan, took us through growing up and an absolute passion for the Beatles.
Absolute passion.
And you mentioned the bootleg Beatles, who of course are coming back to the Isle of Man. Mm-hmm. And it's just so exciting to have Emma with us because we are looking forward to more international artists returning to our shores. And it's just brilliant. Going back many, many years to your first experience of seeing bands here, long before you thought, oh, I'm going to be in the business, or maybe you did even then. Who were the bands you saw here back in the day that you really remember and loved seeing?
Do you know what? I don't remember bands as I was growing up. It was the early 90s. I went off to university in 94. We went to clubs where there were DJs. And local DJs, I have to say. We very naughtily, Jane and I, used to go to the Academy when we were underage. I hasten to add, all we drank was Diet Coke because we were only interested in dancing to the house music of the day. And there was a DJ there who was amazing. So I don't remember bands on the Isle of Man. My very first gig was Oasis at Nebworth in 1996.
And
huge. I was lucky that I was living not very far away from Nebworth at the time, so it wasn't a huge trek for us to get there. And also I remember the day we bought the tickets and you had to ring for your tickets, and it was a Saturday morning they went on sale, and we were students, and I remember thinking, oh, we had to get, I don't know what time we had to get up, but it was early for students on a Saturday.
Anything's early for students on a Saturday.
But we got through and we got our tickets, and that was an immense day. We always joke, because of course we were there all day. There were other amazing acts on all day. We got sunburned, rained on, drunk and hungover all in the space of a day. I'm only 5'2", so I didn't see much actual action. This is the burden of a short person, but it didn't matter. It was amazing. I remember on the way out, the crowd being funneled through a gateway, and I was lifted off my feet and just carried along in the crowd. So I started to high there. A year later, I saw Michael Jackson at Wembley. Whoa. So I've made a point since being home that because we don't get huge acts as regularly on the Isle of Man as you would in the UK, I try to go and see the big ones, like Elton John at Nobles Park. I love Elton John music. I don't think I'd call myself a big fan, but I thought, I'm going to go, because when do you get those opportunities? And so there are certain big acts that I just feel, the same was actually Adamant in the Vilmarina. That's a few years ago. I felt a bit like, I want to see Adamant.
Yeah.
Because I just think you need to go. And personally for me, any live music performance is amazing, and I think we'll all appreciate that more now we've come out of a pandemic. You can't beat live performance of any kind, but especially I love big guitar bands and all of that.
We'll talk a lot more about international artists tomorrow and on Thursday, but the local artists who have kept things going here during the most difficult of times, I mean, without them it would have been
unbearable. Have done? Certainly, we'd already talked at the Vilmarina about our Made in Man series of gigs, because we'd recognised, this was before the pandemic hit, we'd recognised that we wanted to build our relationship better with all of our local bands, and we wanted to provide them with opportunities that weren't pubs. And we've got the Promenade Suite, which we wanted to make more use of. It's a great, flexible, small-scale venue, and we want to fill it more often. So we'd already talked about that, and the Arts Council had agreed to support it as well. But then actually, in the last 12 months, that's been one of our only options, is to rely on those great bands. And there's been some really brilliant gigs, and we're carrying on with Made in Man. It's very important to us. If there's one thing I regret at the moment, is I don't get to go out to the pub gigs very often. I'm a mum of young children, so I don't have the freedom to always go out. And I know that they happen all the time. And I think those intimate small pubs, personally think you can't beat a band in a pub with a pint. It's a great experience, isn't it?
It certainly is. And there are the talent, but every time we talk about talent on the Isle of Man, we are so blessed with not only a lot of it, but diversity, all sorts of bands here, right across the spectrum. Today's musical choice from you, Emma.
So I've chosen The Specials' Ghost Town. And I've chosen it because it is very evocative of a certain era. I still remember the feel of the impact of Margaret Thatcher. I still remember the joblessness. I remember being at school, and actually it was very common for people's mums and dads to be on the dole. I remember obviously didn't really understand what it meant, but on the dole was a thing when I was a child. Now when you listen to songs like Ghost Town, it perfectly captures what was going on.
Yeah.
on the shelf.
This place is crawling like a ghost town.
No job to be found in this country.
Can't go on no more. People getting hungry.
My guest all this week on My Tunes is Emma Callan, who currently has a business card written on A4 paper. Head of Culture and Arts, but there's lots more in it besides. I tell you what, there's a list of things you've done. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. Good things, Mark, good you things. Hasten to add.
Good things. How did you get into the government side of things?
Okay, so that's something that if you'd said to me when I was 18, one day you'll work for Isle of Man Government, I'd have laughed in your face and trounced off thinking I'll be a famous film star by then.
Well, yeah.
So I moved home in 2001. I graduated in 1997, and in those intervening years I lived in London. Immediately before I moved home, I'd been working at the Hackney Empire Theatre, first on their fundraising team. And then I was PA to the general manager. And I really, really loved that job. And I knew that I would be giving up that. Well, I thought I would be giving up that career when I came home. But I was, after 7 years away, suddenly very homesick. And I came home and I signed up with a temp agency. And all I said to them was, don't put me in finance. Because in 2001, we were still, that finance was our main business, wasn't it, on the Isle of Man? And I said, don't want to work in a bank. I'll be rubbish and I'll hate it. And I said, I quite fancy HR. And the lady said, you won't get an HR unless you've got a qualification. I went, okay. And the next day she said, we've got a temp position in the personnel office of the Isle of Man government. So it was only a temp position. I moved home in the August. September, I was in Isle of Man government. And by the December, I was a permanent employee. And so I've 20 years this year in the Isle of Man government, which is really hard to believe.
But isn't it good that you've managed to use your qualifications and your experience and go through the various channels to end up where you are? So it does show they look at what you are and they look at the skills you've got.
Yeah.
And that's a very, I think, hats off to them.
Yeah. We talk a lot in Isle of Man government about transferable skills because we're such a huge organisation. Fair enough, it's shrunk in recent years. But if you think about all the various things the Isle of Man government provides, there are some very specialist roles. There's no doubt about that. But transferable skills of HR, communication, finance, once you know the basic ballpark parameters of working in government, and it's not for everyone because there are rules and regs, and we're regularly held to account, quite rightly. Then you have those opportunities. I went from the personnel office to what was then Department of Health and Social Security, and then I went from there to what was the Department of Tourism and Leisure, and that's when I got the Arts Development Manager position. I really enjoy working in public services, and I've enjoyed it whatever department I'm in. I think it's very important, welfare and how we help the community in all facets of government.
This last year aside, it's always difficult to explain to people that, of course, you're not going to make a massive profit out of the Gaiety and the Villa, because most of the time they're empty buildings until you put people in there and everyone says, oh, why aren't you making a huge profit? Do you find it hard to keep explaining that to people?
It's a very difficult juggling act. So if you look at us commercially, we are venues like any venue, and you are expected to be commercially successful. But we're publicly funded for a reason. We're publicly funded because we have a captive audience of 80,000 people. And I think a good third of the population have never set foot in the Gaiety Theatre.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. And it's a little personal mission of mine that I believe everyone should come once. Just come and look at the building. Even if you think that theatre's not for you, just come and look at what's on your doorstep. Because it is the jewel in the crown. And it's held up not just on the Isle of Man, but across the UK as a shining example of Victorian architecture. I also think there are new communities on the Isle of Man who maybe don't come through our doors because English isn't their first language, or we know the challenges of a Victorian theatre for accessibility. We're not as accessible for people who aren't able-bodied as we would like to be. I think there's things we can do and things we can change because we're publicly funded, because we're there for everybody. And if we weren't publicly funded, this last 12 months, we probably would have closed the doors. So absolutely. We're very lucky.
Let's have today's track.
So today's track is Supergrass, Richard III. And I've chosen Supergrass because I was right in the thick of the Britpop era. So I went to university in 94, and the following summer was the chart battle between Oasis and Blur. And I was firmly Oasis. And also I went to university in Hertfordshire. So I was a northerner amidst southerners. I wasn't the only northerner. There were other northerners on my course, but it translated into a bit of a battle of north versus south. Of course, the south won. I don't mind that Blur won because I love Blur too. I love Pulp, Suede, Cast, all of those bands, Lightning Seeds, huge, huge Britpop fan. And it was very difficult for me to choose one song. I decided not to choose one of my more obvious ones, which probably would have been Oasis. But Supergrass, again, might not have, if you'd asked me in 95, 96, 97, top bands, they might have been a bit down the list, but they've stayed with me. I've listened to them from then until now. Very, very, very excited. I'll finally get to see them live at the Villa Marina when they can finally come through the borders. And I've chosen Richard III because everybody knows All Right, the single All Right. That was their big breakthrough chart hit. But Richard III, I think, I love the heavy guitars on it. And I can't wait to be bouncing to that in the Royal Hall.
Thanks a million.
yesterday's My Tunes Edition 3 with my wonderful guest, Emma Callan, Head of Culture and Arts, I'll have you know now. We talked about Supergrass, who are coming to the Isle of Man. So it's only fair today, Emma, to talk a lot more about who's coming, looking forward, and the excitement of opening the doors once again to international artists.
Yeah, and do you know what? For my team as well at Villa Gaiety, who just for the last 12 months have spent their time rescheduling and rescheduling and rescheduling, and all the communications they've had with all of our ticket holders, and not everyone can come and some people want a refund. It's been such a mammoth task, and they have done everything they can to help out. We are now finally, I hope, looking at a schedule that won't move too much. We're still talking about the borders and what that means. And if we've all learned anything, it's that we can't predict what happens over the next few weeks or months, can we? So we all just have to hope that we don't go back into a lockdown. Everyone's got everything crossed. But hopefully all these acts we thought would happen last year and this year will be coming to us. We've cancelled very few, and some of them, they've cancelled their tour. So, you know, if it just got too much for them to be able to say, we're rerouting, some of them have come to us and gone, do you know what? Give us a year and we'll come back to you. But very few events have been cancelled. The one I keep thinking about is when I first got this job in 2018, Jimmy Carr was already on sale for 2020. And I remember Bob Harrison actually interviewing me for something different. And we'd had people were complaining. People were saying, well, I don't know what I'm going to do in 2020. How can I buy tickets for Jimmy Carr now? And now we've had to move him again. So he went on sale in 2017, so some people will have bought their Jimmy Carr ticket in 2017 and won't see him now until next year. So thank you to those people for hanging on. It's just out of our hands.
I know quite a lot of the independents who book bands, Lenny Conroy and Kev Madigan and
Roy Shuttleworth.
Yeah, and various people. How does it all knit together when you're planning an itinerary for the venues?
Intricately. So we always begin with all the things we know are going to happen. So we usually, let's like a typical year, not the last year, there's always the Guild, there's always TT, there's always Manx Operatic Society, Douglas Choral Union, Service Players. We plot them all in the calendar into all their usual dates. They don't even have to have confirmed at that point. They can come back to us at another time and say yes or no. But we know roughly here's what we're always going to have on. And then it's about fitting those things in. Now, sometimes we get very little choice. So I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, we had the Vamps on.
Yep.
And it was during TT. Now, if we could have put it anywhere else in the calendar year, we would have done, because there were quite a few of them. The travel, getting them on a boat in TT week was hard. And then the accommodation, of course. And we're having to book the accommodation without telling the accommodation who it is. We have to keep it all very secret. But we knew that the Vamps were a band who would cater for our younger audience, who we don't cater for enough. We know we need to do better at that. So we pushed ahead with it. So sometimes we have no choice. The band say, here's our dates, take it or leave it. Sometimes we have a bit of leeway and they will come to us and say, what dates have you got? And we'll be able to say this, this, this and this. Then when those independent promoters come to us, we'll fit them in. Now, we do try to be as flexible as possible, and we will go backwards and forwards a bit and say, do you mind if you could just move to that week? It means that we can get that in and that will keep those people happy. And also, of course, sometimes those independent promoters come along with an act that's too good to say no to. You can't, to all fair play to them, they've made the call, they've got confirmation of an amazing act, and we wouldn't want to turn them down. So sometimes it's tricky. It's really tricky squeezing things in, and we have to take into account, of course, that our staff are entitled to holidays. They do need to go home at some point, and we don't have an enormous bank of permanent staff. So it's a fine-tuned system. And obviously, over the last year, we've had plenty of practice at tearing it up and starting again.
Well, here's to an amazing year ahead. Emma, it's been really fascinating. Thank you. Take us into your final choice.
Okay, so this choice is for all the ladies in my life. I count myself as fortunate that throughout my life, I've had very strong female role models, beginning with my lovely mum, of course. For a little time.
Can I just say, Mrs. Richards, I salute you. Yes.
She'll be listening.
She'll know.
For a little time, back when I was talking about the specials and 1980 and all of that, it was just me and Mum. She was a single parent family in the early 80s, and that I can't imagine now I have two children of my own. All those single parents out there, wow, what heroes they are. I don't know how they manage it. It was just me and Mum, and I know how hard she worked. She set me off on that path of independent woman. I've got an amazing group of friends. I know how lucky I am that we've been friends since school. There's eight of us, eight girls. One of them, my best friend Jane, we've been friends since we were four when we started.
You mentioned her a lot.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
obviously very important in
she
your
is.
Life.
She yeah. is. And when I'm talking about music, she's naturally connected to some of that. And this song says it all. It's Destiny's Child, Survivor. And the other thing I like about this, I'm quite interested, although I know very little about it, I'm quite interested in the science of music. You know those subconscious things that we don't hear when we listen to music, but they're having an effect on us?
Certainly.
In this song, it sounds like a metal dustbin lid. I'm sure it's some sort of percussion. But they bang it, and it's like a tribal call. So listen out for that. And for all the strong ladies out there, stop what you're doing and have a dance around to this.
And before we play it, who are you most looking forward to yourself? Is it Supergrass coming?
Tough between Supergrass and Bootleg Beatles. I'll go with Supergrass for now.
Here's to them all. Emma, thank you.
Thank you.
But I'm stronger. You thought that I'd be broke without you, but I'm richer. You thought that I'd be sad without you. I love harder. Thought I wouldn't grow without you. Now I'm wiser. Thought that I'd be helpless without you, but I'm smarter. You thought that I'd be stressed without you, but I'm chilling. You thought I wouldn't sell without you. Sold my million. I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna stop. I'm gonna work hard.
survive. What? Keep on surviving. What?
Many thanks to Emma Callan for joining us on My Tunes all this week. I'm Mark Tiley, and be sure to keep coming back to manxradio.com because new podcasts are popping up all the time.